الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Yesterday we discussed the posture of ruku. And getting up of ruku. So our legs must be facing qibla when we stand, four fingers apart, and it must be in a line, straight line. And when we in a jamaat namaz, the whole saf, the line must be straight. Then we raise our hands fully till the nails of the thumb, they reach the lobes of the ear. And our hands must face qibla. And in the ear, we don't have to be particular whether fingers are open or closed, just whatever is normal. And then lower our hands completely. Then it will be under the navel, and put the right palm over the, just after the wrist of the left hand. And clasp it properly, three fingers together, and the thumb and the small finger, we should clasp it. And very important, the left hand fingers must be behind the forearm of the right hand. It must not be lying down here. And then after that, in the standing position, keep our eyes on the place of sajda. And very important, which we also discussed, don't do any unnecessary movements, any extra scratching, playing with the beard, etc. Anything of that we should not do. Then after that is going into ruku. When we go in ruku and we put our hands, don't drop them on the side first. And don't let them swing this way or outwards also. Just put them straight where they have to be going, onto the knees. That is directly where the arms should be going. And then we make our ruku, and there shouldn't be a spring action. Like when we go in ruku, then we shake a little before we like settle down. It must just be nicely, smoothly that we reach into our ruku position. And all this is just the outward postures. Of course, the most important is the inward condition. And if our outward postures are right, our inward concentration, khushu, khudu, will come right. And that also is a discussion which, inshallah, if Allah wishes, at some times we will discuss that also. At the moment, it is only more the outward postures that we are discussing. So when we are in the ruku, then keep your eyes on your toes. While we were standing, the gaze must be at the place of sajda. And when in ruku, our eyes should be on the place, on the toes we should look. And then we read our three times minimum, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and try and read it nicely, not just rushing also. And then we get up now from ruku. When we get up, then the very common mistake, but almost everyone, many imams also, we pull our kurta down. And we use both the hands doing that. And according to some muftis, that is amal kathir, that is namaz breaks by that. If you have to do it with one hand. But don't do it at all. It's not necessary. We should not be doing that at all. And then when we are standing, make sure all the postures of our namaz, the bones come back to their place. That is the basic of ta'dil arkan. That is to do your namaz, not rushing, doing it properly. So at least you should be in the next position that the joints of the body came back in their places. Not just rushing, you hardly came up and you're going down again. That Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam warned against such a namaz, that you hardly up from your ruku, you're in sajda. From sajda, just halfway up, next sajda already. Unfortunately, we see sometimes people making namaz like that also. That is far, far from what is called a namaz. So, when we standing up again, now let all the bones, all the joints come back to their place. And when we get up, the arms must be just on the side. must not shake them in any direction whatsoever. Just on the side and with the palms facing the body. Not this backwards like this. Some people make when they put their hands, then the palms are facing backwards like that. No, it must be facing towards the body. Then now we go into sajda. Going into sajda, for a few things that we should keep in mind. One is try and keep, again, health conditions. And mashallah, most of us are healthy. We are young people still, so we should do it properly. The upper back must remain straight till we are gone down. And then we turn, it go down into sajda. If we turn, from the beginning we turn already, we bend our backs from the start, then it's like another ruku also we are making. And one good friend of ours has passed away. Allah give all our marhumin jannat. He had a back problem, so he went to a physiotherapist who was a non-Muslim. But he knew about Islam. He said, how come you got a back problem? And he knew him, he's a pious person, regularly namazi. He said, well, how you may supposed to make your namaz? And how you supposed to go down in sajda? You can never pick up a back problem. If you do that properly, and that is, you keep your back straight till when you are down, then you go into ruku. He says, you will never ever pick up a back problem. So Allah give us our whole namaz, everything, whatever exercise we can think, it is in namaz. But our namaz, the object is not exercise. It is the ibadat of Allah. This just comes by the way also. So that is one thing. The other is that the first that must touch the ground are the knees. And that is, we can see the body how it is from the ground upwards. The knees are the first thing. So they must touch. Then our palms we must put down. If we see, then our hands are down. Then the nose goes down and then the forehead. In that order we must go and make our sajda. Then yeah is very important, which almost 100% negligence also. And not because we don't know, but just we don't care. We don't pay that attention to namaz. That namaz is so important and it has to be done properly. It's not in us. For us it is, I just have to make namaz. Anyway, haphazard way of namaz, slapdash namaz, up and down, kissing the ground, back to town, just that any kind of namaz, as long as I made my namaz. And those who are now conscious of their namaz, I must make 5 times namaz. I must make takbir-e-ula. But hardly anyone, that all my postures must be correct. And this is absolutely important. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should write to the governors, not to the ulama and the khatibs, to the people who are ruling the country, who sing to the day-to-day mundane, worldly matters. Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah. The most important matter, according to me, is your namaz. For the people who are in the government offices, who are doing with all the government matters, running of the country, that your most important thing is namaz. And namaz is meant, namaz which is called a namaz. Not just rushing anyhow and making namaz. So namaz is very important. So we should make our sajda in that condition. And then very important, which also we find a negligence across the board, that when we are in sajda, then our hands must be down. And they must face qibla also. And the fingers must be all together. So much so in the imam. And Urdu translations always got the extra word, ungliyon ko khub mila hai. Though the word khub is not really, but it means that properly. We'll find very common our fingers are open like this. Or at least little bit somewhere. One very good friend who also make, when I told him, he denied it. He said, my fingers are closed, but they are open. It's not in our mind. We are thinking we're doing the right thing. So the fingers must be closed, and they must be also not facing east and west. Not facing inwards also. Properly towards Qibla they should be. And they shouldn't be too close to the face. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sajda was an open sajda. That a kid, the baby of a goat, could walk past also. Like that. But now when we are in Jamaat namaz, Consider your fellow person. Don't push your hands out like that. There we will keep our hands a bit in. But there also, don't put your fingers right close to your face. That also, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's basic thing to get it right, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's namaz was a beautiful namaz. And when you keep, and many good people, their hands are almost close, right next to their face. Some, they will keep their hands like this, and by the forehead, it is almost joining already. And then the head is here in the air. That should not be the case. The fingers should be like that. And if you're doing your own namaz and you've got space, then it should be a bit away from your head completely. And your arm should be opened up fully and lifted up properly from the ground. The namaz with the forearm on the ground. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam is referred to that like a dog's namaz. How a dog sits like that. So the forearm must be up. Unless a person is an ill person or something. But the normal correct namaz, the arm should not be down. And then, a very, very important thing, the thumb, where the nail is, that should be in line with the lobe of the ear. And it should be properly in that line. Now, a person can't work it out when he's going in sajda. Easy way, if we look around, few people, their features are a bit different. But by and large, the tip of your nose and the line of your lobe of the ear is in one line. So that you know where it is. So draw an imaginary line there. And bring the thumbs of your hands on that line. So many friends of us close. We tell them also. And they say ours is right, but still it is wrong. And this hurts that so much you tell and so much you explain, but still just not coming right. That line... that very crooked line, is that called a straight line or what? That the fingers are here by the jaw, in line here. Somebody's fingers are here by the forehead, there in front. And all that you can see is not a beautiful sajda. A beautiful sajda is when the thumbs are in line with the lobes of the ear. We must be very careful. And we can forget having a proper, correct concentration namaz if we don't do our outward postures correct. These things have a complete effect on our concentration. So we should put our hands first down, and then first the knees, then the hands, and that also without reason. If a person got a health reason, it's different. Don't pull our hands on the ground. It must go on its place one time. And when we get up for ruku, don't pull the hands on the ground and then bring them here. And when we come in a sitting position, not ruku, sitting position, don't first put the hands at the bottom. And then we put them here. Unless a person got health problems. Otherwise, from the sitting, from the sajda position where the palms were, they must come onto the knees where they are. Not the knees, but the thighs. The thighs which are just above the knees, that is where the hands must be placed. So, and then when we are getting up, the whole thing will be reversed first. First the nose will be, first the nose, then the forehead, then the hands, then the knees. And when getting up, don't touch the ground. Some people, they know they don't need that support. But it looks like they just have to do it. They just have to touch the ground, then get up. Don't let the hands go anywhere else. They must just go onto the knees. Gee. Anything else? The forehead first. The forehead first, and then the nose. And getting up? Gee. Gee. And if there are any points that have missed out or are not correct, bring it to my notice, because this is going to go to everyone. It must be. And then there are some points that perhaps hasn't come to mind. So do inform us, inshallah. Anything else? In sajda, your eyes must not be closed. They must be open. There's a common mistake also, that it just works sort of naturally. You go in sajda, you close your eyes. But in sajda, your eyes must be focused on your nose. though the tip of your nose, though you can't see your nose, but that is where it must be focused. In the Khanqah of Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, where also practical namaz was also taught. After it was completed, one of the great alims, by Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah, great people should go to his Khanqah. So when it was now free time in the afternoon, he went and practiced his namaz to do it properly. After that he rested. Then he saw his whore of Jannat in his dream, but she was blind. So he asked Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali the ta'bir, the interpretation of the dream. So Maulana asked, did you close your eyes when you were making namaz? So he said, yes, I closed so I could concentrate better. Maulana explained that compared to sunnah, concentration comes afterwards also. Your first is to do it according to sunnah. And in the true sense of the word, your concentration is also when you'll do it according to sunnah. Not what you think where is your concentration. According to your thinking, it is that my eyes must be closed. So I don't look around, don't see anything. No, do it according to sunnah. So the whole namaz, many of us, when we are standing in namaz also, eyes are closed. And many also that we have explained, the lips are lip tight. That when what we are reading also, we're not reading. Reading means the lips must move, the tongue must move. That is where we have to read. Behind the imam, Hanafis don't read. But the others, we should be reading everything. And for that reading, the tongue and the lips must move. So in the sajda, we focus our eyes on the tip of the nose. And here also take a lesson for the whole of our deen and life. Whatever Allah's command is, we must accept it. Yeah, when we are told to look at the nose, we can't see it. But we must do that. We must focus it there. And that is what we must do. Don't use our own logic and our own thinking. No, we must just submit, surrender to Allah Ta'ala. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha. Surrender to Allah, the nikah ayats. حَقَّ تُقَادْ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That you have totally Islam, brought it in your life, surrendered. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّ. Enter fully into Islam. So we must surrender fully. So the nose also. Then when we reverse the position and we stand up from the sajda position. Inshallah. Anything else in there? If there is any? Hello? The same? The feet must be? Yeah, four fingers apart. In sajda. Acha. The common view is also the same that it was in sajda. And this also, we told our Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, that some people are of the opinion the feet must be joined. So Hazrat says that we have learnt it this way, well, we will carry on. So the common view of the Ummah at large is that the feet are to be also the same as they are when we are in standing position. So we keep our feet like that when we are in sajda. But sajda will come, in sajda, that's right. We keep our feet also four fingers apart. See. Inshallah. Allah give us all tawfiq. And the real thing is the worry of our namaz. If a person has got that worry and think a little bit that my one button has fallen off, I won't rest till I don't get it fixed up. I won't carry on like that just for that one button. My shoe lace has broken. I make sure I'm going to get it fixed up. Anything. A latch in the toilet is not closing. We're going to see to it that we fix it up. But our namaz, the thought never comes, I have to fix up my namaz. It's a guaranteed namaz that we got from Jannat, from Allah Ta'ala, and nothing can change that namaz of mine. I got a perfect namaz, I don't even have to think of correcting it. That attitude, our namazes will go, which is happening, deplorable our namaz. To which Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. If our namazes come right, the ummah's plight would not be what it is now. If just our namazes, and not the whole ummah, it's at least the cream of the ummah, if their namazes come right, then the whole ummah's condition will be different. Condition of the of mankind will be different. But we are the very, very special people. We don't namaz, we're just making namaz. And we can think for ourselves, how much do we think that I have to make my namaz correctly? And how many of us, our buzurgs were such, that even in safar, they would go out of their way to make their namazes with jamaat in a masjid. But we know it's the Sharia has given permission. You can make it anywhere, we'll just easily make it. And in fact, we'll turn around our whole timetable to, we'll leave, for example, Zohar time from home. We won't make Zohar at home. So I don't have to go to the masjid. I don't have to make four. The first destination, once I'm on the Safar route now, I'll be make my Zohar there. Now I only have to read two rakats. And now I don't have to read my sunnats also. So we just want to cut and chop all the time. Then we won't get the real essence of our deen. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Then as far as our roza is concerned, which Allah says, Allah is addressing the believers, the His most beloved people, that rozas have been made for us on you. That is in one aspect, that Allah did not want to tarnish that love relationship that should be between banda and his creator. So Allah says, I didn't make rozas for us, not directly. Allah said, rozas have been made for us on you. And the other is, that roza kutiba alaykum as-siyam, ulama have written also, roza has been made for us on every part of your body. And we'll only get the benefit of roza if we keep our roza according to that. If we keep our roza, just the basics of the roza and all the parts of the body are not in roza. Like for example, if somebody doesn't know that you can't drink water in roza, and he feels that, well, water is not food, so I can drink water. So the same way, a person, what is he doesn't know that I have to keep roza of the eyes. His roza is made and he's keeping. And how many whole life we are keeping our roza? No roza of the eyes. No roza of the tongue, of the ears, etc. So that also we have to keep. Then we'll get the benefits of roza. And anything, if you have to buy some machinery and you pay a huge amount, and you get the machine, but it doesn't do the work that it's supposed to. One man of the jungle, living in the jungles, came to the city. And when he came to the city, he saw, yeah, whenever they want water, there is this gadget in the wall, the tap. They just turn turn it a bit, and as much water as they want, it comes out. Clean, proper, well-treated water, as much as they want. We in the jungle, we have to walk 10, 20 kilometers to go and get water. And then we have to carry it on our heads, all that water. And that water then is so precious, we have to use it very carefully. We can't waste one drop of that water. And till when again somebody will have to go and bring water, till then we have to last that water. So he was walking in the streets and he saw in a hardware shop, they are selling taps. So he says, this is what I wanted. So he bought a tap and he went home with it. Now with full enthusiasm and grace that I've showed the village people, the jungle people, that I've got such a thing, now our problems are over. Walking so far to go and get water, I bought the tap and I saw there, you just turn it and water comes out. So he called all the village people and he told them, see, I've got a gadget here, all our woes and problems of getting water is at its end now. And we don't have to keep drums and drums ready for the water. We'll get enough water. So he took it, put it on the wall, and he called all. Now you'll see. When he turned it, just the sound, just some the air sound came out. No water. Because it needs a connection. Without being connected to the reservoir through all the pipes and everything. Without there being enough pressure on it. Without there being, if the water is not treated, then what kind of water will you? You will get no water. So we just read about namaz, or we hear, and we read in the kitabs, fazaile amal, fazaile namaz, namaz, how it solved the peoples. So we also just took a tap, and we just put our, no connection with Allah in our namaz. Our namazas are not pure, not treated. All impurities in our mind are filled in namaz. In our heart, impurities. We go in sajda where we are supposed to be the closest to Allah. But we are the furthest from Allah in sajda. And we are thinking of big, big gunas when we are in sajda. So that kind of a tap, is not, you're not going to get water. And we have to give bayans that namaz will do everything. But not the word namaz. Not the outward actions of namaz. Namaz, which is means a connection with Allah. That is, the literal translation of namaz is dua. That your connection. Today our duas also we're not connected. We are more worried of making it rhyme and the sing song we make it. But that connection with Allah, that is furthest from our mind. As we mentioned, that even Asma'ul Husna we read. Every day we read. But do we think of Allah? Even the reader himself. And every name has got a special attribute, a special sifat of Allah. We don't think of that sifat also. We don't think of Allah also. So then, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Ask Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا مَنْ أَخْصَاهَا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ مَنْ حَفِظَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. But that is when we that name, and these names also are more than enough to guide us through our whole life. If we just have the reality of it and we make amal on it, then and the reality comes, everything we will acquire. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. So the roza, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, and Allah made it easy further. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Don't feel you have been singled out. Only rozas have been, all the other ummahs also kept roza. So you also keep roza. And then the real purpose and object, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that taqwa can come into you. Ulama have also written, what is this taqwa? Precaution. And everyone, animals also take precaution. If it's a bit cold, I must wear my socks today. I must wear a jacket. We took precaution. Anything else? You see little the ground, the water is not, the ground is not even. I must walk carefully. You take your precaution. That is taqwa. Anywhere else, there is water, it's slippery the ground. Anything. So in deen, take your precaution. You've learned to take your precautions in deen. In dunya mein teri aqal kya kar gayi? What hasn't your mind, your brain achieved in dunya? Deen mein wo kaha mar gayi? When it comes to deen, why don't you use your brain? Where deeni matters, we don't want to use our brain. Dunya's matters, our brains really work. And a businessman, especially, he doesn't let anything go for waste. Anywhere where he can make money with anything, he'll make money for it, take out money from there. But when it comes to deen, we can benefit, profit with so many things, but we just don't think about it at all. So, it is very important that we use our brain as far as deeni matters are concerned. So our rozas also, that we keep our rozas and we take the maximum benefit from our rozas. So Allah Ta'ala says, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you acquire taqwa. You take your precautions. A person who doesn't take precautions, looking after his seconds and minutes, his hours and days and years get wasted. And this is a reality of the matter. And where we fail completely. We think, well, it's just a minute here. Just let me now waste it in this. So when you do that, it's not a minute that's gone. It's an hour that is gone. It's a day that is gone. And you find your life gets wasted. And as we start looking after every minute, and this is one thing very important that we learn from our elders and our buzurg, that not one moment of this they should go let go for waste. Not only in Ramadan, the whole year. And today we actually organize to go for a holiday. That I'm very tired now. I must go in. And what does a holiday mean? I'm going to do nothing now. And those who are really good namazis also are compromised. Otherwise, namazis also are not made. You can't do, there is no time for all that wastage of time. And we waste a lot of time. And if we meet somebody, by all means meet, where courtesy and muhabbat you show, and you'll talk with one, but now you're going to unnecessary discussion, and a waste of time in so many things. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when asked one, how are you, kaifa halukum? It wasn't a matter of how you are feeling, how's the matter of your deen, your iman? And what's the state of your iman? Kaifa asbahta? Ya? Haritha. How did you wake up? Mu'minan. I woke up as a mu'min. Not that, alhamdulillah, my body is all in order, my finances are in order. So that was the concern. So this is very important that we don't waste time. Time is a valuable asset. But unfortunately, we don't, today actual proper programs are made by so-called very learned people to waste time. To complete the whole thing is just a sheer waste of time and no achievement. Time has to be looked after, very, very important. So this taqwa that a person, he acquires in this roza, a person who has acquired, to what degree he acquires his taqwa, he will see for himself. Deen actually controls dunya. Today it has been made that dunya, deen, there is no place for deen in the world. Dunya controls everything. But that is not the truth. And it cannot work like that. When deen will come, then dunya will be made also. Our akhirat will be made. And what a person wants in life, peace of mind, happiness, security, all that is only in deen. All these other things of dunya, there is no security in deen. They advertise it as peace of mind. Get this burglar proofing, get this alarm system, get that security system, and you can have peace of mind. Nothing further from the truth. They will advertise that fly now, pay later. You are going on a holiday. Now they show you that you are flying and that. And now you haven't got money to pay your for what you had taken. And all what you had also will be taken away. And everything you lose. So in deen is our true success. So and all this exercise of this taqwa is just for a few days. Ayyam ma'dudat. Do it properly. And then forever you will get your peace of mind. Your whole life. And it will be naturally. You won't have to do anything. And deen is very easy. Deen is very cheap also. But just get the proper deen and you'll see everything else fall in place. And those people who are the ones who really became successful. For example, a sahabi is passing away and is exclaiming, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, I've become successful. Outwardly, there were no signs of success. But that is that permanent success. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is burying a sahabi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when suddenly he looks away. After the sahaba asked that, oh Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you did something which we didn't understand. He says, Allah has sent this whur to him already. And it was not right for me to see. So I turned my face immediately away. So that person in his whole, nam ka naumatil urus, he's got his bride there with her, and a hur of jannat. He has died, but he has died with full success. But we measure our success in dunya's things. That how much money, bank balance, buildings, investments, we measure our success with that. Our very measurement of success is wrong, so how can success be right? We got it all upside down. So when deen will come, so for a few days make this effort of acquiring this taqwa. In that we had discussed briefly some points about the eyes, that we must keep roza of the eyes. The next point is about roza of the tongue. This is, so first let us understand what is the tongue. We say the tongue speaks, but we all know the tongue doesn't speak. What is it? Those students who do qiraat, they go a bit more into it. It is all the breath that comes out. And then the tongue, how it moves and makes the various alphabets. And then it produces the alphabets. Then the teeth are also used, etc., to get the perfect and the correct pronunciation. So the sound doesn't come out from the tongue. The sound comes out from the wind that is coming out. and then how it is maneuvered. Like that it forms the alphabets. When, for example, we studied about linguistics, just the letter P in the English language, to pronounce it, after knowing all the technical terms, it takes about 2 A4 pages to explain how the letter P is pronounced. And a person, a 2-year-old child, he's speaking all the time. Where did he go and study how to pronounce alif or ba or a or b? Nowhere, but he's just speaking all the time. And according to his work, he speaks correctly. If he's an Arab child, his dad is correct from the start. His ayin is correct from the start. Every people of their language, their own language, they will speak it naturally, correctly. So this is a great, great sign of the qudrat of Allah. That and communication. If we were all dumb, just imagine that if I have to become dumb now, what a big musibat, I can't speak anymore. If I have to lose my speech, what a great ni'mat of Allah. See the qudrat of Allah. With your tongue, see the qudrat of Allah. That how Allah has made it, that little 2-year-old children, how they never stop talking. They're talking all the time. Who has made this? Allah ta'ala, wallah akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. Then you knew nothing, but then Allah taught you everything. And just seeing that also the qudrat of Allah. When a human child is born, a baby is born to a woman, that child from the start will look for the mother's breast to drink milk. It didn't have to go to school and university to go and learn where I must get my rosy. It knows it. When a chicken of a hen is born, it won't look for the breast of its mother. Immediately it will start pecking in the ground. So it is no, Allah Ta'ala teaches everything, and they are taught those things. And that little chicken that is just born, it knows I must look for my food in the ground. Allah Ta'ala, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَىٰ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي عَاطَىٰ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَىٰ. Allah is that being that it gave everything its form. Allah was that engineer, that architect, that builder, constructor. He made the whole form, and then he put it on its course also. The chicken didn't have to look for the breast of its mother. The human child didn't have to go pecking in the ground to find everyone, just naturally, summa hada. Allah put them on their course. So see the qudrat of Allah in this one small tongue. It's a tongue of perhaps 3-4 square centimeters. But the effect of it, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, jismuhu saghir, it's small, its body, it's a small tongue, wa jurmuhu kabir, but the sin of it, very big. It comes in the hadith, a person says one word of his tongue, wa la yubalibi, he doesn't worry what I spoke, but it takes him to the depths of Jahannam. And a person speaks one word and he doesn't worry what I told, and it takes him to the heights of Jannat. For example, husband and wife fighting, they were coming to an agreement, settlement, and you were supposed to sort out the matter, you put in, you lighted the fire again. When the fire was now off, you went and light it again, and you made them fight again. That one word of yours will take you to the depths of Jahannam. And on the other hand, they were fighting, and they were really, the guns were out, but you said one word, and you settle down everything. The Aws and Khazraj, the two Ansar tribes of Medina Sharif, at one time a Jew old man in his evil made them remember their old fight they used to have and got them to fight again, almost fighting with one another. Immediately Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came and he sorted all that. He put out that fire completely. So that one word that you say at that time to put out the fire, you don't know which heights of Jannat it will take you. And it is also true that jismuhu saghir, that the tongue is very small, wa ajruhu kabir. And the rewards of the tongue are also very big. If they are used in the right way, they are very, very big. In the month of Ramadan, we can use our eyes to to see Quran Sharif and what rewards. The same eyes we can use and look at Nauzubillah porn, etc. And where we will drop in Ramadan if we commit these gunas. So the tongue also is a great, see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and get connected with Allah Ta'ala. And when Allah gave us this tongue, and the tongue was to sing the praises of Allah, to read Quran Sharif, to say the right things, all that. And that same tongue that was for that, we use it for backbiting. We use it for slander. We use it for lies. Lies is such a guna, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. A mu'min can be a mu'min, and he commits zina, he can be a mu'min. And, But a mu'min and lying can't go together. A mu'min can't be a liar. Though there is all explanation of the hadith, but on the surface value of the outward words of the hadith, lying and a mu'min cannot go together. But today, we are known to be liars, unfortunately. Our tongue, we don't really keep to our promises. We don't, the lies and the bad and the evil that we speak. So the tongue is a great ni'mat. And if it's used in the right way, we will get great, great rewards from Allah Ta'ala. So we have to keep roza of the tongue also. And the roza of the tongue is no backbiting, no lying, no slandering, all the gunas which are haram, that we stay away from them completely. And in fact, like in the Nabi, where to keep a roza? Inni nazartu li rahmani sawman falan ukallim al yawma insiya. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salat, Allah gave him one of the signs of his that he's going to get a child, etc. So he wanted a sign of that. So Allah Ta'ala said that you don't keep roza. That's a different incident. So anyway, so roza, by the buzurgs also, there was a roza of no speaking. And in fact, there were those people, the murids who came, and somebody got this habit of talking all the time, blabbering every time. This one, everyone has got a comment to make with. And he speaks to everyone. So they should be given a board to put around their necks, and on there is written, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. So everyone can see that he can't speak to anyone, nobody must speak to him also. And just do this exercise for a few days, and see that permanently all the extra futile speech will go out of our lives. And it's not a matter of only that going out. Definitely it will bring the good things. Now Quran Sharif will become enjoyable to you. Zikrullah, Allahu Akbar. What zikr Allah Ta'ala? It is just to read La ilaha illallah will give you pleasure and enjoyment. And the value of it, La ilaha illallah, laysa laha hijab dun Allah. Nothing can block it from reaching Allah. La ilaha illallah, you put it in the two pans of the scales. And the one pan, you put everything besides Allah. That means all the anbiya, the malaika, Kaaba Sharif, everything in one. And when you put La ilaha illallah, it will outweigh it. What a valuable kalima. But it doesn't come on our tongue. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this ummah will be identified by La ilaha illallah being all the time on their tongue. Now, I see, do I qualify to be a ummati according to this hadith? For the other ummats to say La ilaha illallah was very difficult. It wasn't easy. For us, it just flows on the tongue. But in a day, how many times do I say La ilaha illallah? If I'm one of the few fortunate people who are accused of making big bidat, making zikr, today is a very big bidat. If you make zikr in a masjid, bigger bidat. And if you make zikr jahri, even bigger bidat. And you who don't make no zikr, that is not bidat. That is now you are proper on shariat. You don't make no zikr. As beautifully our elders have said, today when somebody else makes zikr, my stomach pains. My head pains. Why is he making zikr? Usually when a person is allergic to something, then when he uses it, a person is allergic to fish, he sees fish or he eats fish, then its effects come on him. But this somebody else is making and your stomach is paining. And they are wasting time. Now you're so worried about other people wasting time. And they're making zikr, they are wasting time. So whereas zikr is the only command for which Allah used kathira. Not for iman, not for namaz. Allah didn't say keep lot of rozas, keep lot of zakat. But for zikr, everywhere practically where Allah referred to zikr, zikran kathira, in abundance. So zikr is a very, very... So our tongue, if we learn to not speak the wrong things, then the right will come. And the blessing of reading La ilaha illallah. And it should be all what a mu'min, as he says, La ilaha illallah. He gets up, La ilaha illallah. Anything else, something surprising, La ilaha illallah. Something pleasing, La ilaha illallah. Something, a big sorrow and a problem, La ilaha illallah. So much that connection had to be there. But unfortunately, it is not on our tongues. We do hardly ever read La ilaha illallah. Very lucky, as I say, those who will read 100 times a day, one time, in that 5 minutes they will make La ilaha illallah, the whole day no La ilaha illallah. But at least that 5 minutes, otherwise generally nobody reads the kalima. The kalima, laysa laha hijab dun Allah. Nothing can block it from reaching Allah. And if you put it on the 2 pans of the scale, it will outweigh everything. La ilaha illallah, you can block it, seal it up with steel and metal and brass and copper and proper steel, seal it. It will go through it all and it will reach by Allah Ta'ala. Such and so easy for this ummah, but we don't use our tongue for that. And to lie today, which was an impossible thing for a ummati, to slander, and so much lying that you just heard something, you did not verify whether it is right or wrong, true or false, you spoke, it is enough for you to be recorded as a liar by Allah. And today, not only that, anything we just hear, immediately on the groups now, and on the social, all the platforms, this happened, that person said this, and we didn't verify anything whatsoever. Where we had to be. So if we look after our tongue, it won't be just that Allah will give barakat and then kalima will be on your tongue. Durood Sharif will be on your tongue. And a person who's blessed with Durood Sharif, what a great blessing that person has got. Forget the speaking of it, the writing of Durood Sharif. When a person writes Durood Sharif, and very fortunate are those great muhaddithin, that who, whenever they write their kitabs, whatever today on the computer also. For Durood Sharif, you just got a certain like a H or a P. So the computer will know when it has to print it out. It must print there, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we won't write it there. Fortunate are those people who will write it everywhere. When unfortunately I was at university, for which I've made lot public tawbah, the professors, they told me when we had to write our article, they don't write sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just write an S. So that is what they want. And don't write S-A-W also. And don't write Sal-Am in Arabic also. Anything, write it out. Those people, when they passed away, people saw there what great positions Allah gave them. Just for writing Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But today we regard it as a waste of time. Wal-Iyazu Billah. You are filling up your whole article with writing Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Take the trouble of writing it. It was famous in our Madaris circle when a person was in Mishkat, the penultimate year before Dora, and he would get ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And today, a person who is in Dora and who's teaching Dora doesn't get ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the reason for that, it comes that the muhaddithin are the ones who read the most Durood Sharif. That whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was common, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sami'to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It should be read, and that like a buzzing of a bee in the Dora class, it was all the time sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and not in the heart. but on the tongue. And verbal, you can just a slight murmur. It was a common thing of today we hear nasheed, we hear Qasida Burda Sharif, many other good things also, bayans also in the background music. Whereas with Durood Sharif, with Dora Hadith, Hadith Dars background, Durood Sharif. That was supposed to be there. But that is not there. Now in everything background got some music. And then they justify that, no, that is just an echoing sound. Or that is something else. Also, let us know how a thing is made is not the important thing, the result of it. How a photo is made can be made digital, camera, hand-drawn. That is, the photo is haram. So that sound of that music, that even on radio stations, they got beautiful Qasida Burda, but in the background, music. Bayan of our good ulama, these companies who make them, they put the music at the back. So you're hearing the bayan of a very good bayan, very great alim, 100% correct, but background music. This was supposed to be in Dora Hadith, in Hadith Dars, background Durood Sharif. Not music and that, but background. But no, there is nothing. No Durood Sharif. If a student just does that amount of reading Durood, he will definitely get Ziyarat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So this tongue is very, very valuable. وَجُرْمُهُ وَأَجْرُهُ كَبِيرٌ. You can use this tongue for great, great things. Durood Sharif. And reading of Durood Sharif, what great value. Third kalima, what great value. Tawbah, istighfar, la ilaha illallah. Just reading Allah, Allah. That is what a great ibadat. So the tongue can be used. And if we stop using it for the wrong, Allah will make it to be used for the right. And we don't use it in the right, there is no vacuum by Allah Ta'ala. Then you will use it for the wrong. If we don't use it for tilawat of Quran Sharif, dua, zikrullah, etc., your tongue will definitely be used for the wrong things then. So let us use it, there is a great, and make our rozas valuable. So all the wrong things, let us be very careful when we are sitting and eating and speaking. How many of us, most of us are married, when we are with our families, we ask them to do this for me, do that for me. Did we ever say please? Do we ever ask them, when we ask them anything, will you please, she's not your maid, she's not your worker, she's your wife. And a wife in Islam, they've got a very high position. She's not, na'uzu billah, some street woman. She's your wife, she's a respectable, honorable woman. It's her favor she does your work for you. And when we want to just command, when الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَىٰ. Men have got authority over their woman, so we must just boss them and tell them what we want to. And when she did something for us, think for ourselves, did I ever say even thank you? Did I ever say Jazakallah, you did this for me? She cooks for us every day. Did we ever tell her Jazakallah? But one day, not her mistake, our mistake, and we didn't realize it's my mistake, and we become angry with her. And how? Some people become physically abusive also. Some people emotionally, they will break down that girl. She has left her family, her home, and she's come to you, and how we treat them. And so the use of the tongue is very, very important. And yeah, with our immediate people, what we do, how we treat our wives, we won't treat our sister, we won't treat our cousin, we won't treat a woman on the street, how badly we treat our wives. And this is also common. And Allah, make us maaf. One email that just came, one person writes, he says, we know the ulama who are going on TV, moderners, etc., that is wrong. But he says, the ulama of Haq, who are on Haq, how they are treating their wives, and what gunas they are involved in. And this be-pardagi, he says, the ulama who are teaching, even online, qiraat to girls, They are luring their girls to have affairs with them. And in the madrasas where they are teaching the girls, and what words the ulama haq are speaking. Not the ulama batil, the ulama su, the ulama haq So this tongue is very, very important. What we are speaking and what we are telling people, these are very dangerous areas where we mix with women. And today in our makatib, the children sit together, the ustaz and the apas are together. In the meetings they are together. The apas come and serve biscuits and cakes to the maulanas. How can this? And very dangerous is for a person who is an amil also. And where all people come who are desperate people. And they are what wrong, how they are abused those by good people, how they are abused. All this swept under the carpet, nobody knows about it. Allah knows everything. What is under the carpet also Allah knows. What is above the carpet and all those things. But today it is, this is a very dangerous area. And if a person is not careful about this area, not mixing with women, and therefore keep your distance, use a, what they call it, a barge pole, a long pole. Keep so far distance from them. Don't come anywhere near close to them. Otherwise, you are in danger. This is not an easy area. So anyway, this tongue Allah Ta'ala has given us, we must not use it for wrong. Then it will be used for right. And when we'll be using it for right, then the wrong won't come in there. So this is a time, the month of Ramadan, ayyamam ma'dudat. Just a few days to control. And those who are here for the 40 days, 30 days, whatever period, our wives are not here. So now we can't abuse them also. So at least now, hopefully that we are separated for this short little step, it will increase our love. Absence makes the heart grow more fonder. Hopefully, inshallah, that we won't, when we speak to them, we are not shouting at them, we are not accusing them, not swearing at them, but that we will at least use some kind words for them. So, yeah, and this while we have got this time, use the tongue exclusively for the zikr of Allah. Tilawat of Quran has got so great value. This month, how much we can read Quran Sharif, the connection of Quran Sharif with the month of Ramadan is very, very close. So how much we can read Quran Sharif? Whatever time we have over, make zikrullah, make dua. One time we were in Turkey with our Hazrat Manan Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab. Our whole group was there. We were going on the Bosphorus, the water. And then I noticed Hazrat is missing. I don't see Hazrat anywhere. So I went and looked for Hazrat. Then I found Hazrat right at the bottom by the rudder of the boat, where the engines and that are, all alone sitting there. And Hazrat was making zikr there. Then at that time Hazrat told me, see, when you get tired of your tongue making zikr, then on your thumb, with your forefinger, just write Allah. Your tongue, we are humans, we get tired. Quran Sharif also, not that we tired of Quran, our weakness, that how much you sleep overtakes you. You feel now weak, you can't do, then you can engage in some other ibadat. And Allahu Akbar, fortunate will be that person when we can't sleep, when we lie down to sleep. And some who don't get sleep, suffering from insomnia. What a wonderful thing we have been given. As you put your head down, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you're just in the sea and drowning in durood and you fall asleep. And then see what dreams also you will get. But when we are thinking of the dirt and filth and we're sleeping like that, and how many today good people sleeping in najas and napaki and from adultery and sleeping like that, then if you don't get all the worst dreams, what else can it be? Or if not the actual adultery, then all the filthy thoughts that are in our mind when we are committing adultery, not with one woman, with so many women. And we are falling asleep like that. What kind of dreams you going to get then? But if you with durood sharif on your tongue, istighfar on your tongue, and you fall asleep like that, Allahu Akbar. Maulana Ashik Ilahi Balan Shahri, Rahmatullah Ali, who was one Maulana Ashik Ilahi of some time back, Mirati, Maulana Ashik Ilahi of Balan Shahri was in Medina Sharif. His son explained when he passed away 27th night of Ramzan. And at night, his wife told him, sleep away. What's wrong with you? Why not sleeping? See, sleep not coming. So what can I do? I read Quran Sharif. I mean, you are just reading Quran Sharif all the time. And sleep not coming. Now you're reading Quran and you sleep not coming. You're reading. What a fortunate thing. Allah kept you alive, awake. Then it was their normal practice. Then his wife used to go and prepare sari. And then he was making his namazas, whatever, then he should go when she is ready. Now she is not coming, not coming. She came and see, he's in sajda. Okay, just now he'll come. Again, still in sajda, again, still in sajda. Then she realized that something else. He was gone to Allah Ta'ala. In sajda, reading Quran Sharif all the time. In Medina Sharif, got Jannatul Baqi. What this is, فَوْفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Not just when we're going to sleep thinking of this filthy woman and that filthy, all napak and dirt, and we're making ourselves napak and dirt also. That is not for what. So this is this month, the few days we have got, and already more than a week is gone. So to make hay while the sun is shining, we still got this opportunity. Turn to Allah. Use our eyes correctly. And then the haram will automatically go out. Use our tongue correctly. The haram will go out. And the eyes can take you to the heights of Jannah. Your tongue can take you to the heights of Jannah. And you can say so many good words also. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to appreciate this great month that Allah has given us. And for what it is, may Allah grant us that inshallah.